Well, a lot of coaches have been on my staff, have gone different places. Players got into broadcasting. Some of that stuff leaks out there. So we're changing the presentation of our offense. Really excited about the diverse staff that we've hired. Terminology will be different. Formations will be called differently. And we're going to run some different kinds of plays, but we can't be too specific today because we really aren't sure who we have on our roster. Well, it's been important. Number one, spent a lot of time hiring a coaching staff. We did not rush that process. And then we evaluated our roster, our current roster. Went through practice film, game footage, talked to the trainers, obviously Reggie McKenzie and his staff. And then you got to get ready for free agency. You got to study who's available. You got to get to know your salary cap, what you can do, what you can't do. And now here we are at the combine, but to answer your question, it was helpful, but we still have a long way to go. Obviously, defensively, there are some glaring needs at this time. Free agency hasn't started yet, but our linebacking core, we have a lot of unknowns there. Navarro Bowman is a free agent, looking for an inside pass rusher to step up. Our secondary, you know, we have to clean that up. But I think most importantly with the Raiders, just looking at our last three drafts, we need some young people to emerge and start playing a lot for this football team.
Speaking of that, what are your thoughts on last year's first-round draft pick? Is he going to be ready to start the offseason?
He's going to be ready to start the offseason program, and just talk to him briefly. We're not allowed to have contact with players. I have bumped into a couple of the players that have been in and out of the facility for various reasons, but he's our first-round draft choice. Everybody liked Conley at Ohio State. He had an excellent training camp. When I studied the training camp film, he was inside playing the nickel position. When the season started, he was out at right corner. He's a young player. We're counting on him and Obi Melifonwu to play, and we need him to. But we're really excited to start working with him.
John, I know Marshawn is getting high.
Hey, hi.
I know Marshawn is getting up there in age, but yet he's still almost had 900 rushing yards. When you look at this upcoming season, how prominently do you feel like you project that he would still participate in your offense? You know, some people think he's washed up, but looking at almost half of his games, there were like a lot of games where he got 14 carries or less. So I'm just kind of trying to see where you see his effectiveness based off of, you know, how he was utilized.
Well, our program starts April 9th. Looking at the film and a game that I broadcast on Christmas night, there's no question he's still a beast that's hard to bring down. And one of the reasons I'm excited to be with the Raiders is to join forces with Lynch. But we'll see what happens. Obviously, we got to take a look at the entire roster. And but I'm counting on him. I'm counting on him being a big part of our football team. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I got Paul Gunther from the Bengals, so got a lot of respect for my brother, obviously, and a lot of young coaches that are doing great. Sean McVay, coach of the year at the NFL, was on my staff. Kyle Shanahan's doing great. It was really cool seeing a lot of those guys walking around, and if they can find time for me, if they can fit me in while I'm in Indianapolis, hopefully they can answer some of my questions. Well, it goes back from my days visiting Jay in Cincinnati, getting to know that coaching staff. Zimmer was the defensive coordinator. Gunther was the linebacker coach. I thought that was an excellent staff that Marvin Lewis had. And every time I had the Bengals in Monday Night Football, I was always impressed with the way he coached on the field, taking advantage of the time in pre-practice, post-practice, and what he got done with Vontaze Burfict, Vinny Ray. Very impressive. We're excited to have him. Well, it's a lot different because you're not allowed to have any interaction with the players. And, you know, I've always complained about that since the new CBA came in place. A lot of players would come to see me in Tampa to get their football fix. So you're not allowed to have contact with these guys. But what's most discouraging to me is we've got to make some decisions on our roster, on salaries, on players and their futures, and you can't even meet them. You're not allowed to. I don't know these guys. I've never coached them. Never met half of them. So that's been very, very difficult for me, and I've been emotional about it at times. Yeah, I look forward to matchups with everybody, and I got a lot of respect for Kyle and the way that he's gone about his career. Obviously, he's been fortunate to have a dad like he has and to have some experiences as a young man that have really fast-tracked him to the success he's had. But certainly, yes. Are you talking about the analytics, the GPS, all the modern technology? Man, I'm trying to throw the game back to 1998. You know, really, as a broadcaster, I went around and observed every team, asked a lot of questions, took a look at the facilities, how they're doing business. There's a stack of analytical data, or data, however you want to say that word, that people don't even know how to read it. It's one thing to have the data or data. It's another thing to know how to read a damn thing. So I'm not going to rely on GPSs and all the modern technology. I will certainly have some people that are professional that can help me from that regard, but I still think doing things the old-fashioned way is a good way, and we're going to try to lean the needle that way a little bit.
Hey, John, what did you make of Bruce Irvin's season last year? And where
Who's?
Bruce Irvin. And where does he fit in the
playing? I like Bruce Irvin. I know Bruce Irvin. I like him because he plays. If you look at play time, the amount of percentage of snaps, he's out there all the time. He played through a back problem early in the season. And I really think he's playing a difficult position because he's really an edge player. And when you ask him to play over the tight end or over the offensive tackle at his size, you know, you can get beat up. But he's still a very good pass rusher. I think he plays with good effort. We just need to get him some help so he can do the things that he does the best more often.
John, where do you see Amari Cooper on his growth curve? Obviously, the first couple of years, a lot more productive. He was injured last year, but do you see a digression with him, or is it injury-related, or where do you see Amari?
We think Cooper is going to be a great player. We think Amari's not only a great prospect, a great player, he's a great person. He had a lot of injuries last year, and that impacted him, but he'll be the focal point of our pass offense. I hope he's listening here today. I look forward to joining up with Amari Cooper. He's got tremendous quickness. I think he's smart. He's versatile. He's a gamer. He likes the bright lights, and he'll be the headliner in our offense. Oh, man, I'm envious of the Patriots. I really am. The Patriot way, you know, finding players that are versatile, finding players that can adapt on a weekly basis to win a game. You know, they don't care how they beat you either. They're not afraid to use the 60-minute clock to beat you in the final seconds, and they're not afraid to blow you out either. But they can morph themselves into a two-back team. They can come out with five receivers and play no-back formations. It's just a pleasure to watch them adapt every year to the new rules and to the new men on their roster and on their coaching staff. And it all starts with Belichick and Tom Brady, certainly, but the people behind the scenes there deserve a lot of credit.
Hey, John, you spent
you know, I thought Derek did some good things, honestly. He's got tremendous arm talent. We didn't play to the level we played 2 years ago for a lot of reasons. He got hurt in the Denver game, hurt his back. I think that impacted the way he practiced. I think it impacted the way he played. We had a new feature back, new offensive coordinator, struggled, I think, on the right side of our offensive line at times. Amari Cooper got hurt. Crabtree was suspended. All those things add up. And I'll say this, he's a lot of fun to be around, Derek Carr. I enjoyed meeting him when I had him on my show a couple years ago, and he's got the right stuff. He's going to be a great leader for us. No, Nope. Yeah, it's frustrating. Yeah. Well, you have to. You obviously have to change a little bit. But I think the roots, the foundation of what I know is going to stay in place. We're going to adapt to what the rules are and what our roster allows us to put out there every week. And I think that's the uncomfortable thing right now is I don't know exactly what that's going to be. But Greg Olson, Coach Derek as a rookie, Greg Olson was with the Rams. Edgar Bennett was the offensive coordinator with the Green Bay Packers. Tom Cable's been in 2 Super Bowls with the Seahawks. We've got plenty of people to help me adapt, and that we will do. But it's frustrating right now because we don't know exactly who's going to be with us.
Hey, John, you were in Philadelphia before your original stop. Just curious what your thoughts are on the Eagles.
You know what? I was just happy for the Eagle fans. Those people deserve that. You know, it was really cool. I got a lot of respect for what Howie Roseman did. I asked our people in our organization, how did they do that? Some of the trades that they made, some of the free agent acquisitions that they made, paid off beautifully, and Doug Peterson, his coaching staff, did a tremendous job winning a Super Bowl with a lot of new players, especially at the quarterback position. But I'm really happy for those Eagle fans. I really am. Yeah, Plant High School in Tampa. I might put their playbook in. No, I don't know. I think you study, you learn from everybody. That's the cool thing about the combine. You know, you start studying all these college offenses, which is what I did over the last several years. I was enamored with Patrick Mahomes' offense at Texas Tech. I remember Paxton Lynch running some really cool plays at Memphis. I look forward to watching Baker Mayfield and Josh Rosen and these young quarterbacks and seeing how they tore up the field. Maybe we can steal some plays and some concepts that'll help us. Yeah, that's to me is very special. I remember being here, seeing Marty Schottenheimer across the field and Mike Shanahan and Junior Seau and the Chargers, and I'm just thrilled to be back in the AFC West, certainly, but with the Raiders, and it's been really cool. Not many people get a chance to go back and do it a second time, and it's a neat story for me, but I want to take advantage of the opportunity, and I know I have a lot to prove. That kind of did push me over the top. I've, you know, spent a lot of time with players and coaches around the country, and I've always had the urge to come back. But being on the field that night with Brad Johnson and Brooks and Rondé Barber, Joe Gervicius, it did push me over the edge, and you only live once. So here I am. I like Jamiz. I mean, he didn't play much last year. He had some injuries. I think that hurt the offense as well. He gives the offense some deception because he can run. I mean, he's a fullback with speed, but he was injured. It impacted us in special teams, and it certainly impacted the offense. But I would like to have a fullback. They're a dying breed in football, but I think it does give your running game a lot of deception. And if Marshawn Lynch is the feature back, I think it'd be nice if we serviced him with a fullback. He had a guy named Robinson who's with the NFL Network who was a hell of a fullback. And you need a blocking tight end if you're going to slam the ball with a beast. So those are two things that I'm looking for. Well, I think their defense is a problem. I think the Bengals are blessed with a lot of really good personnel. And they've had a middle of their defense, I think, has been strong, obviously, with Geno Atkins and Burfict and Reggie Nelson when he was there at a high level, and a lot of first-rounders that allowed them to do a lot of cool things in the secondary. But I do like the pressure package. They don't always bring it. Matter of fact, they don't blitz a lot, but the illusion of pressure is a problem. But he gets guys to play. They don't make mistakes. They have some really good coverage principles, and they mix it up, which is hard to deal with, but he's a big reason I think the Bengals have had success, and if we're successful on defense, there'll be a big reason why.
John, you mentioned Sean McVay. Are you looking forward to that matchup? And how would you kind of evaluate?
Well, his first season, Coach of the Year, man. I mean, you can't do much better than that. He turned that franchise around. He energized them. Got the young quarterback to play well. Gurley had a fantastic season. Their offensive line stayed healthy. They're fortunate, too, in some ways. And he got a great staff together, which is a credit to him. You know, usually the coaches that win are able to compile really good coaching staffs. I think everything he did, everything he touched worked, and it's a credit to him, and I'm looking forward to competing with him for sure. Hey, unbelievable. I coach with Mike Turgovac in Philadelphia. I know what kind of coach he is. I competed with Turgovac when he was a defensive coordinator of the Carolina Panthers. For him to be available was shocking to me, and I gobbled him up as soon as possible. And I coached Edgar Bennett at Green Bay. He won a world championship as a player. He won a world championship as a coach with Aaron Rodgers. And I was shocked. I'm stunned, and I'm very happy to have both those guys. And they'll be a big part of where we go with our football team.
Two more questions, guys.
Pardon me? Well, he's the best coach, one of the best coaches I've ever worked with. Obviously, he was the assistant head coach for me in Tampa. He coached two positions. He coached special teams. I let him coach the running backs. I even let him put together the meal that we served our players on the airplane. He did it all for me, and I wanted him back. He's a great leader, great teacher, and his standards are very high. And we're very happy to get him as well. What's that? I do. I like the camaraderie of it all. I get to, you know, see a lot of you people that I know that I haven't had a chance to see for a while. Also get to fraternize with the coaches from around the league. And it's your first opportunity to see what kind of players we have in this draft. So I'm going to be a part of the interview process at night into the late evening. And I might be out after curfew a few times this week. I got a free pass from my wife. So look forward to seeing you guys.
Last question, Michael.
Yeah. Well, he's on the team. I mean, I'd love to coach all these guys. I mean, it's a big reason I was excited to get here. So we'll let you know. We'll keep you updated as we gain more information. I'm going to get a chance to meet with their agent. Obviously, April 9th, I'm allowed to officially start talking to these guys. So Reggie McKenzie has a press conference later today at 12:30. I'm sure he can update you on a lot of the contractual matters. Good. Yeah. Well, I got a lot of thoughts on that, but I don't know if I want to get involved. I'm not on the committee. I do know the catch needs to be cleaned up. And interference, should it be challengeable? I mean, if it's a 51-yard penalty, can I challenge that? That was my argument when I was coaching. I bet the NFL's glad to have me back because I'll be raising hell about all these issues. I got enough problems. I don't have to worry about the catch or DPI right now. I got to try to find some players to help us win. And it's great to see all you guys again. Have a great week. Okay?
Thanks.